Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
This is the Code Breakers. This is Paradox. DC, are you on?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I was talking. It was, you guys didn't even hear me. I apologize for that. No wonder there was such a delay. Apologize for that. Yes, thank you for joining us. This is the Code Breakers. Hope everybody is doing well out there in these United States of America with the triple K's, of course. And we're here to discuss, as we always do, bi-weekly, racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works. So hopefully we can give you a little bit more clarity on the global system of racism and not cause more confusion. So, Paradox, would you like to get into the clip or the title, or how would you like to go ahead and begin? I mean, we can kind of kick it off in any kind of way.
I don't know if Mr. Reed got our clip late. We probably put in too late.
Yeah, we procrastinators, of course.
If I can get a link to the clip, if it's a YouTube video or any kind of audio, I can. It won't take much to get it on air for you. Oh,
I sent it to you. I already sent it to you about a half ago.
Okay, I will check and let you know when I find it.
Absolutely.
Okay. This evening we're going to discuss racism and the attempt to understand how honest can we be about the system that we live under. A few topics that we're probably going to touch on with various other topics, just depending on how the flow goes, is maybe the RNC versus the DNC. What does it mean to be black? Africans in America after 1865. Colonizing Africa in 2016. And why Europeans have to maintain whiteness from a DNA genetic perspective.
Okay, I had that clip. Whenever you're ready, just let me know.
Let's go. Rockin'. Let's roll with it.
Rock and roll. That's going to get everything in perspective once you play.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object!
And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose!
Your Honor,
you had Marcus inside a bony transfer!
Your Honor,
you doctored the logbook!
Damn it, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did!
Oof.
All right. So now that we're in the mood for some brutal honesty, of course, that's the clip from the classic, almost infamous now, A Few Good Men, with a young Tom Cruise and in the prime Jack Nicholson playing the character of Colonel Jessup. And one of the lines that I want everybody to pay attention to is when he directly answered the question, "You want answers?" And Tom Cruise's character, I forget his name, the admiral or the lawyer, he states, "I want the truth." So this particular program is going to veer towards that direction. We want to be able to be honest when we discuss racism, and hopefully we can give you a little bit that here and not sell you a dream, not sell you illusions. We are here to counter and eliminate the system of racism. That means a lot of different things to different people. That of course can go a variety of ways. So we will go into detail about what we mean when we want to say that we want to eliminate the system of racism, and how honest can we really be about the actual system that is dominating all the people on the planet that are not classified as white. So, Paradox, I guess we could just kind of just talk about the clip. I know that you didn't really, I just kind of dropped that clip on you about 30 minutes before the program. So, what do you feel when you hear that clip? I know you know the movie, but just give me some of the ideas of what goes through your head and how that relates to racism, white supremacy, and then I'll share my thoughts on it.
I mean, I don't think I'm thinking about is the Western Empire, the American Empire, the European Empire, white supremacy. I mean, it's really talking about how they have spent the last 500 or 600 years or so dominating the planet, or moving into the direction of dominating the planet over 4 or 5 centuries. And I mean, in every facet, you know, from the language that we speak, the way we practice economics, the energy, just the amount of voracity to develop weapons, you know, I mean, massive weapons, weapons of mass destruction, as they call them. Just thinking of those things, just thinking about, you know, the commitment that is required, the practice of racism, staying committed to it, doing whatever it takes. And if anyone falls out of line, putting them in their place. You know, white people don't want to be white or want to try to, you know, do what they do. You know, they get checked. You know, you're here to practice racism. We're going to have to eliminate you, too. Just very focused, and like I always think, you know, looking at this planet, specifically this country, as a military state, you know, a giant military. I mean, the military is, to me, you know, is what's keeping all of this. The one of the main factors that keep everything in place through violence, committed. You know, what is it? Big man, a little boy. A little man and big boy on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, they have no issues. Agent Orange, all of the, they have no. I mean, when he was reading, what were we reading? American Apartheid, experimenting on black people. sterilizing black people. I mean, I think it's you know, controlling populations. I mean, I think it all ties into that interaction and just showing the level of commitment that they have to dominating the planet. You know, so I mean, that clip really, really, to me, says a lot. It's a very revealing clip to really get an understanding of, for you to walk around here and live your life, we got to kill people. For you to practice economics, we have to kill people. Like, that's the way they view how to manage the planet, is that violence comes in, religion comes in, stripping you of anything that you've had historically is inferior. You know, you have to operate this way. You know, resistance is futile. You know, you will submit. That's what I get from that clip.
You know, shout out to the Cows and Gus T. Renegade, and one of the phrases that he uses a lot of times during this program, the context of white supremacy. If anybody is not familiar with that program and you want to kind of get a little bit more of a detailed purview of how racism is and how it works from an informational standpoint, and some commentary, some great commentary, by the way, I'm getting less confused, please check out that program. He's also on Black Talk Radio. Anyway, what does it mean to be white? I mean, that whole discussion between a young white male and an older white male that's in the military arm of white supremacy, having a discussion about what it takes to maintain white supremacy, what is needed to maintain this. He literally said, "I don't give a damn what you think. This here, this what we got here, this whole system that we're running, this ain't negotiations. We do the talking after we do the killing, you understand? Like we take your block. We are the real gangsters on the planet." See, we have it misconstrued. The language that we use for the victims of racism, the people that's responding to the system, calling them thugs and trying to criminalize us. No. The biggest criminals on this planet, bar none, collectively, as a group, are white people. It's their culture. It's their culture. It has basically been throughout everywhere they have been. Everything that they have done has been through extreme violence. No matter how they try to code it, everything. When he said, "Edie, you can pick up a gun, stand a post. If you're gonna talk, be about it." You see what I'm saying? You want answers? No, I want the truth. So what we're going to do here today is try to be as honest as we can stand. You know what I mean? If we have any callers that would like to call in and share their views about the system and being honest and from their perspective, please feel free to call in and share your views. But what me and Paradox hopefully we'll be able to do today is kind of give a little bit more clarity and kind of give you an idea where we want this particular program to go as far as how we want to share our views, because we have reached a time frame within this system where we may actually go back to where there may be extreme violence. It's already happening. As Mr. Reed does his program and all, you know, the variety of great information that he shares on a regular basis, indicating that slavery never ended. They just moved the plantation. They just moved it. They're called prisons. Prisons have quotas. Police departments have quotas. People have to fill prisons. Prisons have workers. It's just the machine. Capitalism, all of this is basically built upon forced labor at a minimum, either free or breaking you down through the laws that are rendered throughout your communities or our communities nationwide. So I want to kind of get into a little bit about this thing about honesty. Why can't we be honest about the system? Why is the system basically cloaked in confusion? Why do we have so many victims of racism? And when we say victims, or when I say victims, I mean people that are not classified as white, specifically classified or forced into the classification of black. That's what I mean when I say victims. So why do we have so many victims of racism confused about what racism is and how it works, even though we have all of this evidence indicating that we are at war, either involuntary or voluntary at war with this group that collectively call themselves white? How do we be able to massage? How can we live in a state that we're living in right now when we know that we are basically being attacked on all kinds of levels? So if you want to kind of get into that a little bit deeply, and then, you know, we can kind of go back and forth, kind of share views about what I just said there.
I mean, I don't from a but one thing about labor is that this system does need a constant flow of labor. It needs to be labor. Apparently, the labor needs to be from at the lower levels anyway. The labor needs to be extremely ignorant about what's going on, as well as ready to, you know, believing in something, you know, being conditioned to believe in something, and coming to the white world, basically, as far as the United States, Canada, and Europe for the most part, to work and be committed to working for at least one or two generations. It seemed like it's limited to one or two, maybe three, where people are willing to really do some of the hardest work. And like I was telling you earlier, I think that one of the possible issues that they're going to run into, or they have ran into in the past, and maybe they do purge, or maybe they will do. Well, that's one reason for the prison system. But trying to figure out, you know, what do you do with the old labor that you've exploited and you've used up? How do you deal with them? How do you manage them? And also, how do you continue to get a constant flow of new labor? So what are you doing in other places on the planet that you control, creating an illusion of governments and things of that nature, basically, you know, putting governments against militias, et cetera, where it forces the people that are there to have to escape. Of course, naturally, they escape to the land of milk and honey, which, I mean, like, this stuff is just disgusting when you think about it. But watching that flow of labor, having to have a constant flow of labor, just like in business, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you need a constant turnover, right? So you have a restaurant or a store or whatever, and even though you may have a good amount of people coming in, you still need about 20-25% of new people to come into your business to either maintain or grow the business. And that's just some general practices. But I think that applies here as well. So the level of mistreatment, the level of destabilizing governments, et cetera, plays a big role in it. So when you're dealing with, I think, trade, the World Banking Organization, I think they're designed to continue to produce, have labor available. I think, like I was telling you before, I think even dealing with Syria and places like that, I think that Europe needs labor. And of course, people in Britain and other places don't want people of color, you know, the commoner or the peasant, you know, is rejecting people coming into their nation. So they're having some issues, obviously. And I think that's a common thing that they have to continue to manage. And we see it here in this country as well. But for you were asking about specifically about being honest about what was that, your last part from an honesty perspective?
No, just basically, you know, how can we?
Well, I think you know, I think I remember. I think one of your questions were how did this happen, or how did we, or why are we not aware at this point, or what's happening to us to keep us confused?
Yeah, like why with all the evidence that is out there in the purview and things that are going on, why are the victims of racism, white supremacy, the most confused about the system? In your opinion, right. I know that's a loaded question,
that's
but
a good question.
But
I want to get Mr. Reese's advice on that as well after I respond if he doesn't mind. I know he's busy probably, but if he can chime in,
that
but
way.
And the reason why I'm asking him and both of you actually is that if you look at black people coming out of slavery, and you know you guys are a lot more versed on it than I am. Do we, you know, when you're thinking about people who have been extremely exploited, you know, beat into submission and fought back, right? A lot of uprisings, killing a lot of white people and fighting back. But during that process, do we have an idea about how much information that we had access to? You know, were we heavily reliant on religion? Were we heavily reliant? Because what I don't know is that did the European basically cut us off completely from all information besides the information that they writ that they wrote? Even though the information they've learned things from obviously coming out of Africa, they have taken that information, obviously rewrote things and developed their own belief systems, developed their own way of thinking, their own way of functioning, etc. But by us being isolated and limited to how do you function, your way of life, how do you live, etc., even though we did keep some of our cultural things and even some of our language, obviously, but being constantly assimilated into European, especially coming and even the type of Europeans that came over here and having to adopt or being forced into functioning the way they set us up to function, you know, I think right from the beginning, you know, where we are now was really inevitable. I think you this is where we're going to be, because you take 4 or 5 centuries and we're disconnected from data, and when we go out and access information, we're accessing their information, unless I'm mistaken. So correct me where I'm wrong at. And so even coming out of slavery, 65, 66, 67, going into Reconstruction, et cetera, did we at that point even have information outside of itself to have a perspective or a consciousness on? We understood the treatment was incorrect, but did we have any way to really wrap our minds around? And the reason why I'm making that point is that I even think MLK had made a point about recognizing that, oh, this is something else, you know, this is a global empire. But even living here, having, you know, 30 something years of life and still not grasping that information, that's in the 60s. So I mean, just so that's you know, the question is somewhat challenging, because I don't want to answer it in kind of a vacuum. I want to kind of like, if I'm living it now and I'm trying to understand it and have access to limited information, I'm being taught a European education, I've been taught to worship whiteness. And so that's kind of how I frame it. So everything is going to this big white light, and we're all being drugged through various means to that light and to be very focused on whiteness. And I think that's one of the and of course religion, the way they design their economical systems, the way they set things up, you're drawn to that. And when you add in the convenience part of it, you know, I think historically you didn't have the level of convenience you have now. So the Industrial Revolution, I think that plays a massive role in the trying to quote unquote wake people up.
I could answer. Repeat the question again, please. D, you might have yourself muted if you could repeat the question. Okay.
He may have dropped off, but I think he was trying
to
ask.
No, he's still on. I'm looking at him. He hasn't been disconnected.
Yeah, disconnected.
Can you hear me now? I'm sorry.
Yes,
I keep getting crossed up between my mic and the Skype line. Yeah, what I was asking was, as far as if we have all this evidence about racism, white supremacy, and we have all these experts that are talking about racism, white supremacy, why do we still seem to be the primary group that is so confused about the system as a whole. We even have people, even to this day, that would say that slavery wasn't as bad as it was. You're exaggerating. You just need to go ahead and pull up your bootstraps. That's the kind of vein that I'm speaking about, right? Go ahead.
We're talking about victims, right?
Why the absolutely. Victims of racism. Yep.
Okay. First thing, let me just say that there are some theories out there. So anything that I say is a theory. And it's up to me to find resources to either prove it or disprove it, like any kind of theory. I'm looking into this book. I interviewed this author by the name of Joseph R. Gibson. I know victims of slavery were mentioned. And he wrote a book on how the title is How Racism Has Changed the Human Brain, Neuroplasticity and the Chronic Stress of Everyday Racism in Contemporary America. I think he lists in the book or among some of his influences during the interview is Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. Mm-hmm. He mentioned. And so I think that sometimes there is something to that, because sometimes I don't understand it. When I say it's blatant, it's in your face, you know what's happening, it's right in your face that the Republican Party, the Democrat, for those who participate in that people activity area, you know, for politics, I think it's number 6. But, you know, how can they be so confused? And when you get all these emails showing how election was rigged to install a person with a terrible history of racism and white supremacy. I'm not talking about, you know, like soft crimes. I'm talking like hard human rights crimes against black people globally. She's had a role in that. And so how do you then, you know, when you get these emails showing and proving she's a liar and can't be trusted, but yet we see these sisters, these mothers, these fathers, and just, you know, like they don't get it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, are you confused? Or you know, do you, like my mother was talking about the guy, you know, and I'm putting it in a political framework, but the guy, the Muslim guy who came here from the United Arab Emirates, and his son, Captain Khan, died in Iraq, you know, and she was saying, you know, and I was saying, he waving that Constitution, and he don't even know the history of it, that it didn't apply to people that looked like him when it was written, and some of it sound all good, but I wonder if he know about the part that say they can put you in slavery for punishment for crime, and they had a power makeup. And she was just saying that he sounds sincere, and his sincerity is coming from his how do you pronounce that word? Being naive, naivety, but being naive. He just got here. He don't understand. You know, he's believing the hype. He's believing American dream. So many of our people, man, they still believe the lie. And where does the lie come from? How is it getting planted into them? Well, Malcolm X said that media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet because it controls the minds of the masses. So it's through media that they are confused, and keeping it in just the context of politics. For my example, when you have black people that you listen to every day, they play the music that you like, they make you laugh, you come to trust them, you know, as a personality, as one of us, part of the family, you trust them to give you good information, but then they giving you bad information, and they're telling you to vote for someone who, you know, has a lot of black bodies on her tab, and people become confused about that, but they still go ahead and you know, I it's hard to understand. So I kind of do think sometimes it does have something. It's like learned behavior. Again, I'm still trying to grasp my mind around this theory that he has. It all makes sense, and some people are just literally programmed to you know, to, it's not that they're confused, you know, there are just so many categories. We had to come up with subcategories because you can't put everybody in a box, you know what I'm saying? But when we want to talk about the masses of people, we had to look at where they're getting their information. You got 6 corporations, white people, white supremacists, masters in media and propaganda, and they provide 95% of the media that the world sees. You know, you're bound to have, you know, some people that are confused and aren't properly equipped to do deep analyzing of, you know, because it's just so overwhelming. It's on a global scale. So If I had to put my finger on why anybody's confused, I will put it on the media. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you for sharing that, Mr. Reed. I think one of my ideas of the reason why we seem to, and I do agree with Mr. Gibson, that it has changed us. Obviously, it has crafted us into being the so-called people that are now classified as black. And we are black people because we are an identifiable different entity now, being in the black diaspora. But one of the things, can I be heard? You guys hear me? Okay?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Good. Yeah. So one of the things that I would like to kind of delve into is, I think all of the time that we saw the violence, and I'm talking about all the way from the plantation, the violence and the rape, and we're not able to be in a mode of what someone would call a man or what somebody would call a woman, being able to operate in a family structure properly, did something to us. I think that we have been compromised to the point now that we are not able to see any different way of doing things outside of white people. It's almost like the invasions of the body snatchers. Like,
so are you saying that white people can trust you? They've conditioned you to the point where you're trustworthy.
That's obvious. That's obvious. We're basically the people that are trying to get to more clarity are the ones that are considered crazy. So people will listen to us speak about it, and they will be like, "Nah, that's not really what's going on." But they will believe in a white Jesus in the sky. You can't make this up. There has to be damage in the brain. And I wanna kind of bring this back to the victim that just passed on.
Yeah.
Oh, D, your mic went out. Paradox, do we still have you?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Oh.
I'm back on. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
Kareen Gaines, the lady in Baltimore.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah. Kareen Gaines. That just passed away. I think it was on
just
yesterday.
Murdered.
Basically in front
today.
Of her child. Today? I think it was yesterday when this happened. It's just been talked about today.
It was last night. It hasn't been 24 hours, but it was last night.
So just seeing how we have almost justified not even being able to recognize when we have someone that is mentally ill that needs help, or maybe not even mentally ill, but needs assistance. It could have been a lot going on. We don't know what went on with her. But I mean, there was clearly something that made her react the way that she did, and there could have been a better.
She was tired of being mistreated. So I know people like her.
Absolutely.
I know the environment based off the little bit I've seen of her videos and stuff. And it's nothing. I don't think there's nothing wrong with her. I think that cops have the ability and have always had the ability to shoot people. You know, I've been in situations, I've seen situations where they pull that gun out for nonsense. You know, can you imagine someone, not to get the off her, not to get off topic off of her, but I've been in environments where cops have guns out and there's no weapons around. And they have their fingers on triggers. That environment is, they're going to kill people. Like, their mindset is to go in there. I don't want to stay on it too hard, but the mindset is to kill people. Like, there's other ways to deal with things. And anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. That's in the vein. That's where I want to go with this. I'm just seeing how we're responding to the murder of a young black woman that for whatever reason, however you want to look at it, that did not have to die. She should not be dead right now. The mother, she's the mother of two young children. And if I'm not mistaken, the five-year-old young black male was shot, and he was in his mother's arms when they basically came in and broke down the door for traffic warrants, if I'm not mistaken. Not even, you're not talking about a hardened criminal here. Like, how do we wrap our head around a system that has made this basically justifiable? It's like pushing it so far to the point where we have now agreed to our own extermination. And I don't want to sound like all, you know, negative and, you know, just downtrodden, but look, we have to be honest. We have to be honest here about what's going on. What is actually happening to us? There are things that are happening to us that has created a pathology of hopelessness. So when you see victims in the street dancing, acting crazy, tattooing themselves, doing things to kind of nullify the pain, we have to be empathetic towards us.
Yeah.
Because nobody else will. We can't judge us like that because we all suffer. There's degrees to this.
Do we know how? Okay, so I was brought up, and that's what it's funny you say that, because from the outside looking in, I think it's, I mean, trying to take a step back and looking at it real time seems to be more of a, it doesn't make as much sense, but I think if we look at the way we were raised, to me it almost feels like it makes sense because I'm used to it, right? So it wasn't like it's an abnormal thing, and then the justification from family, from some parts of family, is you know be compliant, right? You know obedience and acting right and following the rules tend to be the answer. And so if you get shot, if you get killed by a cop, or for example, or other people for that matter, then things in this environment has been set up for it to be your fault. And we don't, not we, but you know, the way people taught me how to see things was it's on you. So not that we're a collective group, not that we're unified, not that there were people who were 3 and 4 and 5 times my age at the time telling me this is incorrect, you know, this is not the proper behavior, you know, this is how you should look at things. You know, and I know many people were very lucky to be in environments where you were taught how things really, what was really happening, and gave you the proper vision on it, I think. But the way a lot of other people were taught, really, the people that I know, really was, in my mind anyway, it's kind of like, well, you know, you're on your own. You know, if you act right, do the right things, you still get killed, by the way. But if you act right and do the right things, you have a lesser chance of being mistreated from what you understand, right? So if I act right, the loan that I get because I'm quote-unquote acting right is still at a higher rate because I'm not white, right? And we can go down the list of simple things where not being white, you're still being mistreated. You just may not be aware of it because obviously you don't necessarily have all the information. So anyway.
Yeah,
if that makes sense or no?
No, absolutely. And I want to kind of stay here because it's still fresh. It hasn't been 24 hours. We are experiencing trauma. And it's like Dr. Welsing has said repeatedly to us and people that used to go to her the Dr. Welsing Institute. It was every second Thursday, right? Of each month?
Here in D.C.? Yeah.
Yeah, every second Thursday each month here in D.C. None of us qualify for mental health. I mean, I don't know if people really understood that or we just really just didn't accept what she was trying to say. We are all damaged. I don't care who it is. So if you see somebody that is flipping out, acting crazy. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't have dangerous victims. Let me be clear. A victim that is dangerous, still you have to protect yourself at all costs. I'm not telling people to not watch themselves and protect yourself. You have to do what you have to do. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not talking about being violent towards anybody. I just mean that, you know, being empathetic towards someone when you know that there's been damage done to us over generations, over centuries, and there has not been any kind of reciprocity. We are not able to get any kind of justice. There's no proof of it out here. So we have to be forced to deal with it. So we talk around it. We start to blame other victims for how they're responding to it. And then basically we see someone on TV, and I'm just going to give you an example, somebody like a Stephen A. Smith. And he's such a target, but it's like, you know, he's allowed to speak, and then he talks about the platform that he's on. Dude, you're on ESPN. You work for white people. You know who your bosses are. You're very compliant when it comes down to white people. Why are you damaging and bucking at black folks? Why are you not being empathetic towards black people? And I know that he feels like he needs to be, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But no.
Before I go in, I'm about to go.
Stop me. But look, what I'm trying to say is that growing up, I think, and he is an example of what I mean about how we have different mindsets when it comes to what punishment should be for people. And unfortunately, because of the environment that we're in, some of us believe that some of this stuff is justifiable to treat people this way based off of what they believe their actions were, regardless of why they did it. Not saying that not to talk about her specifically, but not say, for example, if you were doing a particular crime, just use it as an example, you know, to feed your family, but the crime you was doing was, say, you're selling drugs, to keep it simple. And even though you're doing it to feed your family, and we do know that drugs are coming from white people, you know, you are working for white people, but you also are feeding your family, and you also are hurting black people. So you have some responsibility in that. The question is how much, because of the conditions that you've been put in and how you've been set up. Or should you have any responsibility? Because I think it gets complicated when we start talking about individualism versus groups of people. Because again, I'm definitely not qualified to go into to heavy detail. It's more questions than anything for me. But if you know, the assumption is that, you know, you're raised a certain way, you're an individual person, and there's certain things you should and should not do based off the system that you're in. I'm not even clear if that's natural. Anyway, right? Because we're really talking about how to function in an industrialized system. So historically, I'm not sure if that really applies in that way because of how the family structure was, how the extended family structure was, and just how you were protected, depending on what part of our homeland we were from. So, you know, if anyone who's listening or will listen could always email us or reach out to us. But just to give us just books or whatever you can recommend, just to kind of look at, well, the way we had our way of life, what were the challenges then versus the challenges now from an individual perspective, right? So this environment is designed to mistreat, to exploit. And you have the most powerful white people making laws to determine what's legal and what's not legal, which in turn drops down to the lower class people, and then they accept those laws and say, well, if you smoke weed because we said it's wrong, then we're going to treat you and say you're going to hell and that you're a devil because you smoke weed or you sell weed. But then when the white man says it's okay to smoke weed, now all of a sudden, hey, what's the big deal? But, you know, 10 years ago and 15 years ago, you was disgusting to people. Now everybody want to smoke weed, and so it shows you the power of how they control the individual and the society. And then people present their the way they was raised or their ideology off of that. But we're coming out of fucking sharecropping. I apologize for the language. We're coming out of sharecropping and coming out of slavery. And what are we adopting? You know, how do you function in an environment where you have scarce resources? You're being lynched. you're being attacked constantly, gentrified, not gentrified, but what's the word? Sterilized. Your population is being managed and being controlled. So you're dealing with a tremendous amount of stress. You're in a foreign land, and then you're, and I'm not sure if everyone, but we're having to mimic the European behavior, right? So we're dealing with and what's strange about it is that it seemed like at a spirit level, at a DNA level, our connection to Africa is so strong, even through all the things that we dealt with, that we still have a difficult time, I think, many of us, if not all of us, and just some are better at hiding it, to function in this society. And then we're putting pressure on people to tell them how they should act, what they should and should not do. And the most powerful people, the white people on the planet, can just make up new stuff. And all of a sudden, it's okay to do those things. And I'm just trying to say that to make it, I hope that makes some sense to individual responsibility and playing with some of these words about how, you know, not saying there isn't a way to figure it out, to be constructive. I'm not saying that. I just know that it's going to be a challenge because of really scarce resources, not having access to the ability to read, and then when you do have the ability to educate yourself or read certain things, it becomes even more of a challenge to get access to proper material to train yourself to think a certain way that's going to be counter to the system.
To 23 years old, Corinne Gaines was 23 years old. Just think about that. 23 years old on this planet. And this is what happens. And this is what we call police work. This is what we call basically, you know, taking care of the community. Like people are supposed to understand this. This is supposed to build trust within the group of people that you're supposed to police on a daily basis. Like, it's just the things that are happening to us, and then we have discussions, and then we turn on each other because we don't have a recourse. We don't have the ability to appropriate justice because we're not being honest. See, I subscribe to the theory that before you can deal with something, or before you can even diagnose anything, what's going on with the body, you have to first be able to be honest that you're in pain. I mean, you can walk around all day and ignore symptoms and things of that nature, but the body will fall. And that's how I look at us. Like we're not honest about a lot of things. Like the whole thing about there is a way that we can negotiate with white people, like all of a sudden, like they're going to stop being racist. We actually got black people, people that's forced into the classification of black, that actually believe that we can act a certain way to not be mistreated in a system of racism, white supremacy. Like, there's no proof of that. There's never been any. Like people need to understand there are things that they have always allowed us to do. Like just understand that. Like, the first thing to do is just to be honest about where you at. And Mr. Reed says all the time, we are behind enemy lines. And maybe we just need to just find out a way to. And part of the reason why we call ourselves the code breaker is because we have basically come to the conclusion that most of this has been wired into our brain. It is like a code almost being downloaded into people. Like, you are a black person. You are a white person. Okay, act accordingly. And then these two people combine, and then they act a certain way. And it's all based off automatic coding, based off the things that are already here through violence. There has been extreme violence between these groups. And this has not been something where we have basically been violent towards them. We have not. And I know people are going to look at the situations in Dallas, the situation in Baton Rouge, which are the incorrect way of dealing with this. But you cannot look at those as something as being equivalent to what has been done to the group that's classified as black. That's a false equivalency. It is not equal. It's false. You have drone programs daily. There's a movie called A Good Kill. Anybody that's listening to this program, if you want to know what white supremacy is, watch that movie. Watch that movie. And then think about what's going on. Think about the life that's being taken on a regular basis. See, and these are the same things that you hear, all lives matter, right? You hear people say, all lives matter. Why you got to do this? Why you got to do that? That's controlling folks. That's curtailing people. Like it's amazing that this has been able to keep itself intact so long. But it's just the fact that racism has been used as this bridge between power structures. It's almost like the foundation, because there are a lot of poor, struggling white people in this country. And I don't feel sorry for them. Don't get me wrong, but they are being used and subjugated in this system also. But they do not give a damn about people that are just like them that are not white. Why is that when we share same commonalities financially?
Remember something. They're their standing army, by the way. I just want to put that out there. That's the army. Those poor white folks is the army that they will use to kill all of us. I just want to interject that. That's all.
So when we get down to the honesty part, we have discussed this in detail, and we go over it and we see it all the time, and we see concessions being made all the time about racism, white supremacy, and the conclusion that I have come to, the first thing that seems to be the hardest thing is us being honest about the system. So I want to kind of take it up a notch and kind of speak about the DNC in particular, the candidate known as Hillary Clinton, and some of the massaging of the minds that she has done to the other side of our gender, black women. I think that she has cast a spell almost on black women. I know not all black women believe that she's the second coming of President Obama, but I did not feel that way about President Obama, even though he is a black male in this system of racism, white supremacy. I had no illusions about his power, what he could do in this system. But there seems to be some kind of connection to Auntie Hillary for some reason when it comes down to the victims of racism of black women. Like there seems to be some kind of connection to her. Do you know what the connection is, or why there seems to be such an affiliation for her?
I don't think I'm old enough to know. I mean, you got to go back pretty far. I think the being a part of the Democratic Party and Bill Clinton and all of that played a lot into it, and also our ability not to. I'm not sure how we, as quote unquote, the black collective, I don't really know how we see things, how we pass information to each other, and just where the mind is at, and how pressure is applied to you to support people. So I mean, it's something for us to discuss. You know, we can. That's what the whole point of this is. We can get a little bit more into what are we thinking.
Well, she's clearly a racist.
Clearly, what she's done to Haiti and Africa is disgusting. So,
is a racist. Anybody that's listening to the purview of my voice, she is a racist. She's been proven. There's no suspect here. She's not a suspect. Her and Rachel Maddow, I'm about to go on my diatribe about white women. White women are dangerous. Extremely dangerous. There is no confusion. There have been riots started off. Lies. I mean,
I mean, there have been so many stories about even black men turning down white women. No, Miss Amy, I can't sleep with you today. Oh, really? Okay. That's fine. And would just say, just in your window. Don't even have to say the word rape. Oh, he looked at me. Oh, you know, Leroy looked at me wrong. Oh, what did he do? Are you kidding me? Hillary Clinton? Have anybody taken a look at this woman? Look at her in her eyes. You don't get that energy from her.
I'm saying all of this
intuition that I know that our women have. You know how they can just look right through you
and know you did something wrong.
And just know that you just full of shit. You understand? And you cannot look at this woman, talk, and be condescending towards you. Oh, I can hear it now, man. Well, we got to vote. We got to vote for something. It's better than Trump. Trump is a unabashed racist. I'm not telling people to vote for Trump.
We've been voting for racists since we've had the ability to vote.
Absolutely. I'm just telling people to get less confused. Do not expect Hillary Clinton to be any different. Hell, she may be even worse than Donald Trump. And I know that people don't believe that, but it is a fact. It is a fact. See, I don't understand this. See, stop me if I go anti-black here. But this is what I don't understand. See, there seems to be a fracture between, and we're going to do programs on this later on because we want to have dialogue with our counterparts that are black women that are less confused about racism, but I know that they have a different view of the system. But anyway,
and I have a rule that we did not discuss
absolutely
black women unless they're absolutely on the call, by the way. So
absolutely,
go ahead.
There seems to be a fracture because we have victims that think that they can get a piece of this particular pie and then, you know, everything else doesn't affect them. See, but what people are missing, these male victims or these other people that are so-called not going to be part of the gravy train that Miss Hillary Clinton don't talk about, they're part of the black family. So there is no separation. She just can't take black women with her and then just make it seem like, well, you know, it's cool with you guys, but you can't bring him. You can't bring your little boys. You can't bring, Miss Turn Up right here. You can't bring her in here because, you know, she's going to call me out on some things. Like, it doesn't work that way. That's what I'm saying. So this thing about trying to fragment and segment our particular population when we should be able to have an understanding about what's going on with us, that's where it breaks down, because we have people that still believe that racism doesn't exist, or it doesn't exist this particular way, or it's not that bad because I'm getting some treats. See, look what I got over here. You Negroes just need to get it together. That's your fault.
That's tough.
You ain't doing what you need to do. You ain't going to school. You ain't going to college. Hell, you need to go join the military. Now think about it. People are telling you to join the military to kill people. Killing people. Man, hey man, go. I'm gonna take a 5-minute break because I'm about to go off. Mr. Reed, do you have anything to add? Maybe you can kind of give a little bit more clarity, because I know that you feel a certain kind of way about Miss Clinton also, and I'm, you know, I'm just clear on her.
Just narrowing it down to a question, and I think your question was, why are so many black women seemingly that participate in that people activity area? Again, all black women do not vote, and they are not all out there campaigning. I wouldn't even say a majority of them, but the ones that are being showcased, why are they confused? Again, the media, man, the media. We don't know what they consume on a daily basis in terms of news media. We don't know what their backgrounds, but Hillary also has that connection to the black sororities and frats And, you know, like you see these people that's also in political office, well, they belong to, they're Masons. They may be, you know, belong to whatever the name of the frats are out there. And so, you know, it's just people fall in line. That's why, you know, I came up with the concept of proxy racism. And, it, you know, we can make excuses all day long, and some of those things may be valid, you know, in terms of a person's ability to make, you know, informed decisions and whatnot. But, you know, when you have people that are, you know, you're going to make money, it's something in it for you as an individual, and then you weigh that versus doing what's justice and practicing justice, and you so, you know, that comes down to personal morality and compass. And so when enough individuals, the majority of the individuals who are doing that, stop doing that, then other people will follow their lead and not be, you know, engaging in counterproductive activity. But again, it's the media. It's really the media. I hate to keep stressing that, but it really is where they're getting their information from. Because when it's like the Matrix, you know, you create through tell-lie vision, as one of our hosts would call it, you create this false reality, you know. And some of the people that we see on the stage as well, you know, they got nonprofits, foundations, and, you know, rich white people will donate money. Then they can, again, you know, maybe do some little good out there, but also pay themselves a salary. And but, you know, I just can't do business with the devil. I'll leave it at that. So I hope I answer your question.
Right on. Agreed. But you had anything you wanted to add, Paradox? Hello, can I be heard? Sorry. Maybe he.
Yes. I can't hear him. So, I mean, it's just so many variables. There's no cookie cutter. We can't point at one thing and say, that's why they're doing it and what have you. It's just, you know, a lot of it is follow the leader. Again,
you know what my problem is, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know what my biggest issue is that when we have sensible conversations, or when we try to come at this through as really trying to get at this problem, at really trying to solve some of the issues that we have internally, That's what I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with the reason why there's such a rejection when it gets pushed to the far where people get uncomfortable and they get compromised all over again. And then now we have a beef with each other because we can't push it too far. Like, if you are married to a white person, if you work with white people, if you got a best friend as a white person, then, you know, there's only so far you're going to be able to go with this. Yeah. Because you're always compromised.
Right. But still, there are examples, very few, but there are examples where people in those arrangements don't compromise because, you know, they have come to the agreement that they down for whatever side they down with, either racism and white supremacy or your justice. You know what I'm saying? But again, you know, it's really the leadership structure, the way people are programmed to follow the leader. Really, you know, what's a president called? A leader, you know, the CEO of USA Inc., you know, the leaders of the companies that we work for, leaders in the military, and all different people. They appoint people as leaders, you know, religious leaders and things of that nature. And so when your pastor, a man you trust to tell you the truth, to get your best interests at heart, and you'll follow him because you believe that, you know, he's anointed by God to speak the truth, and then he's cut a deal, you know, behind closed doors, that where, you know, down the road he's going to benefit somehow, and he tells you I talked to Hillary, you know, and she's getting it now, man. And You know, she's working towards morality, as Reverend Barber said during DNC. She's working toward these positions. You know, well, think about the words. Words are important, right? He said she's working towards. So that's telling you that he knows she's not a moral person. So why go along with that? But see, people will follow him, and that's where we fall into these holes, man.
And that's what I'm saying. So where can we be brutally honest with somebody that is completely compromised? Like, say, he's a perfect example, Reverend Barber. I look at him, and I can see a genuine care that he genuinely cares for his people. But there is a compromise that's in him that is still saying, well, this is the best that we could do. So we got to compromise and do this on the back end until, you know, we can so-called get white people to kind of open up their arms to us, and then they're going to just accept us as human beings, which is never going to happen, by the way.
But, I mean, it was in total contradiction. His endorsement of her and saying she's working towards these was a total contradiction of the central message. Because he really gave a sermon, and the central message of the sermon was your moral compass and morality.
Absolutely. That's what I mean about. And this man is a man of God. He's a preacher. Am I correct? He has his own church, one of the largest churches in North Carolina. So how are we able to still? We know that what we're listening to and what we see, we know what America is.
We don't know. That's the point.
Okay, go ahead. Break it down.
You're just answering a question that I don't think that's the. I mean, I think what you're seeing is the answer, not what you're thinking it should be. But you know what we're seeing is that, you know, white supremacy. But we are getting ready to go to break. We do want to invite listeners to participate. Please give us a call at 1-641-715-3660, extension 549032. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on the air. This is the Code Breakers on Black Talk Radio.
Are listening to Code Breakers on Black Talk Radio Network, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, we're back. This is the Code Breakers. This is Paradox. And we just wanted to kind of get back into where we were in the discussion as far as the DNC and the RNC, racism and white supremacy. Did you want to keep on that track, D? Or are you still having phone issues?
I can hear you okay. It might be his mute.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. If you have a mute on your mic, if you want to mute yourself, just mute the mic. I don't know if you're using, you know, the Skype mute button, but I never use it. I just use whatever, you know, controls my mic, and you'll be fine.
I think I have one of these quick keys on my computer that is kind of like muting me out automatically when I press certain buttons. I'm kind of like typing at the same time, looking up information. But go ahead, Paradox. You can go ahead and kind of go a little bit deeper into the DNC, because I know that I was on that type of. You know, we got a vote. We had people that died for our right to vote, which is true, by the way. We do honor that. We're not basically anti-vote here, but we do open up enough room for victims that don't believe in the whole process of voting. And especially when you have valid reasons on the reasons why you do not participate in this process.
Now, didn't black people outvote white people in the 2012 election? Didn't black women put Barack in the White House?
Isn't that kind of how they phrase it? That's correct. The black vote was the largest demographic in the general popular vote. Yeah, we did cast the most votes as a block. Yes, that's true.
And so I know that Hillary is banking on that. I mean, I'm already seeing images all over social media where she's putting herself in proximity to black people as much as possible. But I think there's some things that she know that we may not totally understand. I think that a significant amount of black people are believe in Jesus, believe in the Christian Bible, and I think with churches and pastors and ministers, etc. I think a lot of that's pushed through that environment. I do know a couple of churches where they've already had the local politicians come out, then had the bishops and the pastors push to vote Democratic, all the way up the voting from local to national. So I know that some of it is you're gonna get certain things automatically because we mostly vote. The people who do vote mostly vote Democratic anyway, up in the 90th percentile. And so some stuff is already automatic, historically speaking. The flip on that is from a political perspective is, not to get too deep into political stuff, but how do you get the vote to turn out? What do I have to do to convince you to get up and actually go and do early voting or vote on November 8th? And I think that is the mission. And that's the only mission, is to get into office. I know that most black people do not reject this environment. It doesn't even make any sense. It wouldn't be supreme and it wouldn't be superior if that was the case. In my mind, if white supremacists, if the system is functioning correctly, then we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. So I don't think there should be any confusion outside of showing that white people have a system that is supreme, that has the ability to convince people all over the planet to do what they want us to do. And I mean, again, a lot of it, again, historically goes back to killing. And I think a lot of the people who would have challenged them historically have been murdered, have been killed. I also think that understanding individual people and just how when humans are produced, I'm not sure if the warrior spirit is in every human. Not to get too out there with that type of stuff, but I don't know if the people that we're producing, that black people are producing, how many of them from a percentage perspective has the ability to really step up. You know, how many of us are actually weak and cowards, and how many of us are willing to go and fight? I mean, just to use it as an example, I don't really know the answer to that. I know that many of those people are in prison. I know that they target those people at a very, very young age. I kind of think about, historically speaking, when they're trying to find the strongest children and try to isolate them out to use them as warriors, for example. I'm just thinking from a European perspective. But I just wonder, do they target strong black males at a very, very early age, historically, and making sure that they put them in some kind of foster care system, to take them from their family, splitting the family up, putting them in prison, murdering them, whatever they have to do, or not even that, more powerful than probably even abortion and foster care is malnutrition. I mean, people not having access to proper resources creates deficiencies in the brain, and you start to have behavioral problems. So, I mean, they're doing a magnificent job on maintaining and managing the system of racism and white supremacy. So I think that what we're seeing is an example of how the system functions correctly, meaning that you can murder black people and people are okay. We all went to work. We all did our job. We all, not all, let me not say all, many of us slept fine. We got up, we went to our jobs, we paid our bills, we didn't go out. You know, like, we're not, you know, the way the system is structured is very difficult because your food, your, they feed us. Do you understand that? They provide us water. These, if anyone has time to go and research Syria and look at how they're trying to bring food and different things and giving them resources, and how people are going to ultimately starve to death in a lot of those areas because they can't get resources to them. The government controls the water system. No one, unless you have well water, unless you live in more rural areas where you are more isolated and off what they call the grid, most of us, if I'm not mistaken, looking at some of these maps as far as where black people are located, by the way, they have us on the maps knowing exactly where we all live at. So, I mean, it's interesting that you can go and look up where we all are, specifically in the United States, but even worldwide. But they control the water system. They control the food supply. So I don't think, and we can go on and on down that list, but when you, either subconsciously or even consciously, you have a understanding of who's taking care of you, regardless if they're beating you and they're violent towards your group, you still know at the end of the day, the buck stops with them. They're the ones that you got to deal with. They're the ones that you're gonna have to go to get your house loans and your car, all the things you want to do to function and be a part of this empire, to be a part of the industrial revolution, to be a part of this system. You know, I think that you can't just forget about that. I think that's the key function, is that we're operating optimally. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. I don't know what the numbers are, but looking at some of the voting numbers and looking at some of the unemployment numbers, a large percentage of us are functioning in the system correctly from their perspective, from what I'm looking at. I mean, the fallout is in prison or hustling, right? I mean, they deal with that group that says, I can't function in this system at all. So they have a place for them as well, but it appears to me that most of us, I mean, again, historically it makes sense because, again, I'll put it this way. If we wasn't compliant, we'd be fighting. If we weren't compliant, we'd be all over this country, literally. They would be, basically, if we look at how the indigenous people were exterminated, it would be the same way with us. Right. So coming out of slavery, if we decide to say to hell with the European model, we're done with all this stuff. Whatever y'all are doing, we're going to fight y'all. We'll be still fighting right now, literally. See,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
that's the difference between what we're doing now and if we were actually rejecting it as a collective group.
It's almost like the brain has become rewired. Like, we have become conditioned to the treatment. Because of how it was forced bondage, it got refined in a way, and then it changed up, and then it turned into something where there was a separate but equal. And then we went from separate but equal to Jim Crow to so-called civil rights, which means that basically you're fighting to have a seat at the so-called table, but there's never been this appropriation of justice given. See, because for that to happen, then the European would have to give up most of what they got through slavery, which, if you approximate that, that means that they've given up everything. And that's not going to happen. That's justice. That's reciprocity. That's basically righting a wrong that was committed. And we're not talking about like 10 years, 50 years, 100 years. We're talking about 400 or so years. No, we're talking about 1619 to present. So this is something that's continuously happening. So with that being the track record of mistreatment of a group of people and having a system of racism that has been built primarily here but has basically went out globally, and now they have basically inflicted pain and basically inflicted whole populations and destroyed groups of people through the so-called US of A, and we have participated, some voluntarily, most of us involuntarily, because we have become rewired. somehow they have made us believe in this system, and we think that we can refine it without ending the system. And when we say the system, I think that we mean the system of racism, white supremacy. They have made us think that we can change it from the inside and make it some kind of system that's going to still look the same, have the same constitution, have everything basically be the same, but it's just going to be equilibrium all the way through, when we know that this system is based off mistreatment. And if we know that, go ahead.
No, I just want to, and I know that Mr. Reed talks a lot about the Constitution. I just wonder, when we say, like, the statement that you just made makes an assumption that what they're trying to do, what these people have been trying to do, is to create what we call fairness, right? You know, in quotes, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you talked about, I know you would talk about Europe a lot historically, and how they used to fight constantly at war, constantly at battle.
Game of Thrones,
constantly doing things to each other, manipulating each other, classism, all the different things they were doing to maintain a form of power. But the power class, their job was to convince the lower class that they're being treated well. Meaning Absolutely. That in these systems, you have an upper and a lower, basically, and that the goal of the higher class people is to create a system to maintain the poor. And Absolutely. I just wonder, things like democracy or the whole, this whole nonsensical story, I think it is, of the poor coming over here and work, you know, doing what they were doing, whatever, and building up this so-called country. But I just wonder, is all of that just a farce? Is it a scam? Is words like the Constitution, if words like rights and things of that nature, I know when it's been explained to me in my ignorance, when it's been explained to me, it does sound like, okay, that makes sense. But again, I've been taught to think a certain way as well, so I'm already manipulated coming into the information. So, I'm not saying historically in other parts of the world that people weren't being mistreated. You know, I wasn't there at that time. But as far as where we are now, how much of this is really a con game anyway, to ultimately exploit resources, exploit human beings? And that's really the ultimate goal at the end of the day. It's not even really about constitutions and rights and Bill of Rights and all these other words that are put out there and documents that are being written, even the legal system. Or am I just going too far out there, and these things are more real than not when it comes to justice?
We have pastors that would sit with Trump, sit with Hillary Clinton, and speak about how good these candidates are, but we act like the U.S. that is not in constant battle globally for resources, for economic domination of other groups of people that they do not classify as white, or other groups that do not want to be white. And we act like this is something that is basically moral or just. What, God stops in America? That's what we're saying. Like, the God of the universe only recognizes, I'm saying, if you're going to believe in the creator, how Mr. Fuller would say, the creator, someone that basically created the stars and the heavens, but you have a limited purview of America, that these are the only people's lives that matter?
Insanity.
This is crazy. Like there should be a petition of pastors that be like, no, this has to end. Violence is wrong. And one of the things that I also want to get to, as far as truth and being honest telling, Martin Luther King got there. I know a lot of people think about Dr. Martin Luther King, and they think about I Have a Dream speech and things of that nature. But I would advise anyone that really want to get an idea of hearing somebody come down to realizing that the problem is white people, and that the problem is a sickness that can't be helped. There is no resolution, because at the end of the day, this is a global system. See, once that's recognized, you can't turn it back. You can't turn it back off. You see, when he started to speak about Vietnam, I think in 67, 66 really. So from 66 to 68, he became very, very dangerous, uncompromising in a sense. Because what he ended up doing was peeling this layer of so-called goodness that so-called America had and basically revealed the truth. You guys are napalming people in villages. These people don't even stay in homes that can even stand fire. You are napalming them, killing folks, right? Killing so-called human beings.
And then celebrating it.
Yeah, and then you want to come over and try to talk about God and religion and being nonviolent. Are you for real? See, when you preach nonviolence, nonviolence don't stop at the border. It doesn't. You're preaching peace, and you're preaching that there should be no. I mean, you hear people say things all the time. There should be no violence. I mean, what are you talking about? No violence where? You are like, this is something brand new. People have there are people getting killed every day. And you wonder why we have soldiers that come back from so-called combat zones and they cannot reconcile with regular living, so they end themselves. Think about that. Police officers and military are some of the highest, please check me if I'm wrong, Mr. Reed, are some of the highest suicide rates in this country. I don't think it's even close. Military and police officers are some of the highest rates for beating on their spouses. There is a correlation there. There is something that is wired in people when they do things that they know. I mean, to keep lying to yourself tremendously, the body is basically regurgitating. If you're saying that you're praying before you go into battle, you're praying before you do something to somebody that you don't know, you're killing folks on a regular basis, you don't even know these people. You see? And that's what I'm saying about it becoming something that is believed, that is programmed. The code has to be broken. The behavior of countering this system has to start with the individual of basically finding a way to recognize and study white people. I don't have many answers to give you, but I can give you the truth. I can give you what I see. And if you're listening to me, you know you can't refute that. You know that's incorrect. You know it's incorrect to have a Reverend Barber to care about justice sit up there and celebrate and basically support a war hawk like Hillary Clinton, because that's who she is. She was wasn't she the Secretary of State during Benghazi? Yes. Wasn't it like
killing black folks, hurting the French and the rest of them.
Wasn't it like a lot of secrets and a lot of things that she held under wraps? What are we doing here? And you're going to allow this woman to just walk up there and lie and talk about how good of... I mean, she's a killer.
You know what you're touching on?
She's a killer, man.
What you're touching on, I think, is how we can separate those realities. Because if it's not directly... Because I think that if you train people to be individuals in this environment, I think what it does, it allows you to separate yourself. Because the thing is that you are not feeling anything. You know, you can watch a movie. Matter of fact, you don't even got to watch a movie. They actually have video of them actually dropping bombs on places. You can go look those up online.
It's not a secret.
And it doesn't feel, you don't feel it. Not saying everybody, many people obviously do, but many, many people I don't think really can connect to it. And I'm not sure if... I don't know why that is. That's something I don't understand. Is that do you have to be trained to have empathy? Is that 20% if you took 100 people, is that 20% of those people who naturally have this thing where if something is harmed, they feel a certain way to either protect it or walk away from it out of fear of it hurting themselves? So I don't know what type of behaviors that that's been put in us that creates these things, because you cannot kill these many people. And for us individually or even as a group, really not have a serious issue with it. But what I mean by that, if someone says, hey, the president and the secretary of state are signing orders with the British and the French, and they're going to go into Africa, for example, and start bombing people. They're also going to go and take weapons and give them to people. And then you say, what? So they actually went there and killed people? And have you told people? I've told people that. And I don't get anything. Like, they just say, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to go there. Right.
Now, if the television starts to show you the bodies over and over again, they can start to raise you up. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I don't even know if we're dormant to certain things. And then, you know, like, for example, they've been killing black folks they haven't never stopped killing us.
They never stopped.
I'm not even clear if this is a higher rate. I have to look that up, but they've been killing us at a pretty good rate continuously, right, for centuries. So if the Twitter thing or the TV thing tells you, you know, okay, now you need to pay attention to this, I don't even understand that.
I think it's done. I think it's done for the white supremacists that are not able to practice on a wide scale. So they get to see these postcards of lynchings go out to them via the media, like Mr. Reed say, and it's powerful. No, I don't think it's any less than what has already been happening. But them videotaping, it traumatizes us, but it gives them that extra boost.
Let's go in reverse a little bit though.
Yep.
When we say media, are we talking about when they were killing us in the 1920s media? Was that media or the 1890s?
Postcards were media.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, is there an equivalency anywhere in there? Is it at a higher rate now because everyone has a device and can see things real time? Or because the only reason why I say that is that, you know, where we...
They don't have to show... Or let me just say this. They don't have to show these killings, right? That's a decision that's being made. Now, they can blank a lot of things out. These last few situations that have been videotaping, and like I said, it needs to be exposed to a certain degree, but after a while it becomes detrimental to our psyche, because there's no appropriated response. Because see, people
you have to have power to respond.
That's what
outside
I'm saying.
Outside of that, it's an illusion.
That's what I'm saying. So what ends up happening is we justify it. You see? If we're seeing it and we know that there's nothing that we can do to respond to it.
Who you gonna call? You can't call God. God ain't coming. God's not coming. So who you gonna call?
Watch it.
You can't call China.
Watch it.
Who you gonna call?
You're getting a little honest. You're getting a little too honest.
The thing is this though, look, man, we've been here for a while. You know, we've lived through a lot of different things. I know I have, and I've seen a lot of different things. And you know, and I've talked to many older people, and I'm gonna tell you that it's not making sense to me. Is that if something happens to your group and you claim that you are a group, right? Then what's the response? Don't tell me what the response should be. What is the action itself?
Your response is going to be what they have allowed.
Look, if I cannot call somebody in Africa, if I can't call somebody in China, if I can't make a phone call and say, this is what they're doing, bring what you need to bring and put it in. Like, I'm not saying there's an answer to this question. It's just that it's interesting that what response can you give in a system that's supreme, in a system that dominates the planet? That not only dominates the planet, but dominates space.
Paradox. Brother Paradox, if the way I took what D said in terms of we're seeing all of this and how it's traumatizing us, seeing the snuff films the slave catcher snuff films and whatnot is traumatizing you when you don't get the appropriate response like justice. Now, the people who are less confused, we know that the system of racism is incapable of delivering justice. It wasn't. And so it you keep watching this, you get emotionally, you know, have these emotional reactions to it. They go viral. Millions of people are outraged. They turn out in the streets. They don't know what to do. But there's never any justice. And it's just on a repeat cycle. It's enough to drive you crazy, even deeper into psychosis under the trauma of racism. So that's how I took what he was saying. It's not, and he could speak for himself, obviously, but the way I took what he said was not a response from the victims, but, you know, everybody's looking at the system to deliver the justice, and so we're never seeing justice. So what good, then the question becomes, are these videos doing more harm than good, since obviously they're not delivering justice? So is it worth to keep traumatizing our psyche by keep seeing the mutilation and outright, you know, snuffing out of black life?
We get a victim of racism, which is Corinne Gaines, and she, if I'm not mistaken, she basically had a whole list of videos showing her interactions with police. This is a 23-year-old black young woman with two children. And most of the time, she has her children with her. Her son already knows about the police. You want to talk about traumatic? She's talking to the police officer, telling him, "You want to kill me, don't you? You want to kill me, don't you?" And this comes true, and we see this? She's alive telling this officer this? And then this happens? You serve a misdemeanor warrant for a young lady like this, and it gets to this level? Come on, man. Like the stuff that's happening. Like, I don't understand. See, and where I'm going with this, you're going to hear a lot of people say, "Well, she had a shotgun. She shouldn't have done this. She put in a child." This is wrong. This is incorrect. It's not just. Period.
I don't think she was outside. Right?
Absolutely
so
not. She was in.
Hold on. No, they got the key. You need to get out
the
house.
No. They went to the leasing officer, got the key, and entered. Entered the home.
Where them laws at, though?
Come on, man.
Where them laws at? Why didn't the laws stop them from going in the home? Where's all these laws that the people keep talking about?
This is. We're the ones that are confused about racism, and if you think that white people, I don't care what white person you're talking to, if they're able minded to speak with you and have coherent sentences, they're not confused about racism. They're not. If they can say, "Hey, I'm a white person," they understand what that means.
Well, and remember, didn't we have a good conversation, really just focusing on how they allow the system to operate? They don't even get involved at those levels. Let's see what the system does. Let's see, do we need to tweak it anywhere?
And we're still protesting, talking about we want justice, when you know that this is done through violence. Like that is what it looks like.
But you're raised,
impotence,
that's what I told you
impotence,
before.
Impotence looked like Corinne Gaines. That's what impotence looked like when it's turned on its head, when she is fed up. Like you said at the beginning, that's perfect. She's fed up with the system. She's tired. Right. At 23, so she's in direct confrontation. So she's in the right headspace, but we're confused because we're looking at it. We're like, comply, 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 but we don't understand that she has VGQ. She has basically said, "I'm tired. I can't take this no more. I see the system for what it is. There's no reconciling this. So I'm gonna treat them exactly as hostile as they treat me. I'm gonna give them the appropriate response, that's what I'm saying. Even though I know that I can be killed at any time." Oh, jeez, it's just. It's just like watching, like my younger sister or something, man. Like getting fed up and just doing things, and you know that this is just someone that's tired, that they're just tired of just seeing the injustice over and over and over and over again. It's doing something to us. is doing something to us, and they are allowed, like you said, to shoot and kill us, and nobody says nothing. And then we got other victims of racism that would sit there and say, well, you know, she did this, we should have done this. And I mean, it's just we have a built-in filter that is built in, that is almost like a self-checker of resistance that's built into us. So it kind of goes against the collective. So when people are trying to get to the truth, we can't get there because we have other victims that do not want to be falling off the train or whatever benefits or crumbs that they get from Massa, to make a real crude analogy. Now go ahead, I'm done.
No, I was just going to say that I think that upbringing, you know, clearly must play a role in it. You know, being taught how to act in a way that it's protecting you from these things, or at least making you believe that you're being protected from, I think plays a big role in it. Teaching you how to function in the environment. And I don't know if we're really truly preparing not everybody, of course, but a lot of us preparing ourselves and our children on how to respond in the environment across the board. It's just constant survival mode. You know, I'm going to show you how to get through. You know, I don't know if you ever heard that before, but show you how to get through.
Right.
You know, I'm going to show you certain things that should lessen your chances of these other events happening in your life. And then you're going to have a good life, as they say.
It's almost like we have to be able to be honest, right? And we're not being honest about the system because we're talking about how we need to be treated. But if we can just tell people that there are no guarantees when you are actually stopped, you have to be aware that this can get to the point where it's a bad to actual situation. You're not in control anymore. Like, your control is gone. You are in the realms of the people that are the slave catchers. Like you have to literally look at this in that kind of context for you to get to grasp the understanding. You're behind enemy lines. You are captured. Act accordingly. Understand that the way you act depends on, you know, however that particular race soldier is feeling that day, and then that's how their appropriate response is going to be. The only thing that we can kind of tell you to kind of minimize, because you can't escalate the situation. Since they don't want to do their job and be a peace officer and de-escalate, right? They're just looking for an opportunity to escalate because that's what they want to do. They want to put you down. They're looking for action, right? They want to get adrenaline off. They want to use their nigger knocker, like Norm Stamper said, chief of police, by the way, behind the blue behind the blue line. Man, don't get me started, man.
But let's be clear. I don't care what's wrong with them either.
And I think don't
that's,
either.
That's the other issue.
I don't either.
We're concerned. Oh, well, you know, absolutely. I don't care.
You it chose does not matter. Job. You are a peace officer. A peace officer. People want to say police. A peace officer. Okay, oh, no, you're not a peace officer then. You are a race soldier. You are a slave catcher. Somebody that's in direct opposition of maintaining the system of racism and white supremacy. You are a proxy racist. You are a proxy person that's in position to mistreat the people that's in your first force classification. So you're going to show out for the white cop, like Cube used to say back in the day.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think, my numbers could be a little off. I think there's about 800 plus white militias in this country that's allowed to carry weapons, allowed to train, allowed to practice. I do know the CIA and others are tracking, they do monitor Absolutely. All the stuff. But my question is, what are the odds of them at some point letting them loose on us? You know, these people have so many different things in the pocket.
It happened after Reconstruction, when we basically had all kinds of the most black people in the House of Representatives, by the way. Anybody that want to look it up, and I know Mr. Reed is very aware of this history because North Carolina was one of those states. If you ever want to look it up and look at the House and look what they did when the military, so-called military that was here to protect the victims of racism during the Reconstruction period, when they left and say, hey, go have at it, take back your land, go ahead and do what you got to do, reconstruct the South, put things back in order. Oh yeah, the original terrorist organization, the so-called KKK, Ku Klux Klan, the Knights, or whatever you want to call them. Yeah, those racist people, because guess where they ended up in the 1950s and the 60s, and they remained? Police departments. So when they used to go riot in these places, the police departments were part of the Ku Klux Klan. So these militia groups, all these groups that people talk about, these hardcore white supremacists, racists, and all this, police officers, you think these police officers are not aware of these people? Come on, man. Come on now. Looking for action. Race soldiers. Race soldiers.
Do you think that by the amount of violence that's been put upon us, are some non-white people trying to be white? For protection, for security. Ooh. They're telling white people, like, look, I will die for you if you accept me, even though I'm classified as black, if you allow me to be in your to be protected or be under some form of protection, or at least the illusion of protection.
Psychosis, man. We have a group, we have people that are classified as black that are actually acting in that way. The psychosis. Yes. The evidence says so. Yeah, when you have a David Clark that spews the venom that he spews, and I know this is a trigger for Mr. Reed, but it has to be said. I mean, you know, I do consider him a victim. I don't condone anything that he do. I don't support. He's very dangerous to me. He's a dangerous victim. He's counterproductive. He would do things that's going to hurt black people, and the fact that he is a person that's in our classification, he can do more damage for these races. And see, that's where the problem lies. And so, speaking to what you just said, would I kill for you? Will I do things? Yeah, we have people like him. There's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them. Like, that's what I mean. And then, if you get rid of him, then you got another person that will step right up in his place. They can replace them faster than we can get rid of them at this point. And that's scary. But we're being honest today. We're being brutally honest today. As much as we can stand. As much as we can allow. And hopefully you can hear us and understand how painful it is to admit certain things. To admit some so-called black males on the phone admitting how powerless we are at this particular point. To do anything on a massive scale when we know we're being attacked. You know how that feels when we're dealing with we can't protect our own women, children on a massive level. Hey, we have a caller from the 561 area code. Who's calling in, and what's your comments?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? My name is Sam, and I'm calling from the South Florida area. I usually call in to the other shows. I'm a frequent listener. My first time listening to you guys' show. I'm appreciative of your show as well. And
thanks,
I kind
sir.
Of been in and out. I've been trying to listen to the whole show. I've been in and out, but what you guys are speaking of, you know, about racism, white supremacy, and about its effects, and I guess specifically about, as Scotty says, proxies, of the, you know, victims that pretty much perpetuate this system. I agree with what you're saying about, you know, they're everywhere. You know, how do we combat it? You know, I feel like everything is just going to turn on its head. You have what you were saying about the young lady that just lost her life just recently in Baltimore, about just the state of mind that black America, poor black America is in. Like, is, and all of us, I repeat her sentiment, like the exact same feeling, because that's how we feel. And more, it's my generation, she's you know, a little younger than me, but I consider her in the same, like, kind of age group. Our children are learning, like, from 2-3 years old, you know, the police are bad. No matter what, the police are bad. Right. So it's kind of like we don't know where we come from. Our history is lost. We have to do a lot of searching. So a lot of us are homeschooling our children as we should, and teaching them about racism, white supremacy, the effects, you know, victims, how they may act. It's all the whole code behind it. We're not teaching them, but in a strange way, the effects of that teaching, in my eyes, is coming out by their terrorism. I don't know. The tension in black neighborhoods like that I frequent is just, it's really thick with you know, alert about police, about their activities, about everybody's on edge. And hell, almost everybody's on either on probation or they got a warrant, violated, and they don't care. Like I was saying early on Black Talk Radio, it could be a traffic citation, it could be a probation violation, anything. They don't come and serve like they used to. They come with, you know, guys in SWAT. They come with, like I heard you saying about, they went to the rent office and got the key.
Can you believe that?
They do that all the time. They've been doing that down here. That's like regular policy. Like, I used to date a girl that live in public housing, live in the project. So, you know, we're not supposed to be. I'm a felon, so we're not supposed to be living there. But we do it anyways. How you gonna tell? You know. So it was always like a running thing, like sleep light, because at any given time they might come in your door. Like they go straight to the rent office, and I always say, "Dang, how is that possible?" But under their laws, they can do that. And so I just really think that my generation and our kids are gonna be the ones to, because nobody likes the police, except for the confused ones. They care about the police, but most, as Cat Williams was saying, I apologize for using this term on your show.
Now go ahead.
Babies, they don't deal with the police like that. They don't like the police, even if they have a affection towards the police, because they know they can get something out of the system. They understand the system of racism, white supremacy, without verbalizing it, without really internalizing it and reasoning with it as an adult would, but they understand it. And so I just, you know, I sit back, I hold my breath, and I just hope not to become a victim. But
Let me ask you a quick question, brother.
Real stuff.
Can you hear me? Sorry. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. I really want to kind of touch base on the honesty part. Now, you know, me and Paradise, we like to kind of do these experiments sometimes with people that we interact and kind of see exactly when a kind of conversation falls apart, especially when you start discussing racism, white supremacy. You know, it normally gets to a point, and then when it gets too real, the conversation shifts. Your conversation, it seems that you're less confused. I don't know how you share with other people that you're around. Do you see yourself curtailing the conversation when it gets a little bit too real, or do you still just kind of just reveal truth and just be like, hey, like this is what it is. I'm not trying to be harsh, but you know, I don't want to cause any more confusion because I'm about saving lives. Because at this point, what I'm seeing is, like you said, everybody is seeing it now. So they know that something is incorrect, but we're not being honest about what we're seeing.
The honesty part is hard because it's so embarrassing. Our main problem that I see in our communities is embarrassment. We embarrassed, man, being brutalized because you start talking about racism. First of all, to answer your question, no. I don't turn away from anything. I'm always ready to have a quote unquote race conversation. Always. Okay. My conversation, I get upset with myself sometimes because I can't steer away from it, because I realize that you can't, everywhere you look, everywhere you go, whatever you do, you in this system. So if you realize the system is wrong, then the only recourse in my mind is to constantly go against it. And that means talking, That means telling people about his network. That means riding by, you see people walking on, black people walking on the street, or people classifying themselves as Latin and all that or whatever. Walking, don't got a ride, stuck in the rain, whatever. Pick them up, ask them do they need a ride, all of that stuff, because that's what's needed. Nothing else is gonna help us. Nothing is, because white people are, in my eyes, the epitome of evil. Everything I know to be evil, either white person created it, they co-signed on it, they were part of it. I mean, we have our atrocities too in different nationalities, different races, if that's how you see it. We do. But as far as just...
Oh, no, they the masters. They the masters of it. They the masters when they come down to that. They got that on lock. No doubt. You got all that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm one of those type of people. I really wish that I was in a position to have a platform to speak, because I love to have those conversations. We have to have those conversations in order to progress. We have to have the conversations that we have to act on.
Thank you for giving us a call. Hey, you are always welcome here, brother, to share your views. We don't have a filter.
Thanks, man.
As long as it's constructive. You know, please feel free to share your views, share the program, you know, because we're all about being as honest as possible. Paradise, do you have a comment for the brother, a question? Paradise, you on the line?
I was just saying, good stuff, man, good stuff. I don't have a question, though.
So did you have any final comment or anything else you want to share? Anything else do you have any questions for us or anything else that you wanted to kind of know about what we're trying to do with the program? Anything?
So you guys come on every Tuesday from 9 to 11, or is it, or what is the schedule of the program?
We come on every, if I'm not mistaken, every other Tuesday.
First
and the third. Okay, give me correct. First and third Tuesdays.
Nine to 11.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I'll definitely be sharing this program to people, you know, people that I come into contact with. And I'll definitely be listening out for you guys, man. I appreciate you guys got your head on right. You know where you know where you're going, you know where you're at, and it sounds as if you're trying to take the mass, take us with you too. So I really appreciate it, fellas. Keep it up, and I'll be listening. And
absolutely.
As well.
And let me just say, check out our podcast. It's on TuneIn Radio and also Stitcher.
Oh yeah.
And while we're still doing that, let's just give out the rest of our info, which is on Twitter. We're on CodeBreakers191, or I guess it's at CodeBreakers191. Instagram is Code_Breakers1865. And you can email us at CodeBreakers1999@gmail, just to give y'all some information out there.
So any questions, any concerns, any gripes, or any kind of confusion that you may have about what we just said or what we're trying to do with this particular program, please feel free to share your views. Like you said, we are just still two confused victims. We're learning. We're just like you out there. We're basically trying to deal with this particular system as best as we can, and hopefully we can give you a little bit more clarity about how to process the information that's coming through in this code that they have basically globally put upon this earth called global racism, white supremacy, because best believe it is a code, because we should be constantly fighting this. There should be constant conversations about racism. Like, there should be nothing else that we actually discuss throughout the day, but we understand that it's a slow process. So that's what we're trying to do here. What were you about to say, Paradox?
No, I was just going to say we're doing a lot of this to get less confused ourselves. I mean,
absolutely.
That's really my main push is to get just a little bit better understanding and kind of immerse ourselves in it to really, because I mean, it's a there's a lot of programming that goes on through childhood that if you're not raised or if you're not homeschooled or raised in an environment that is very, very conscious, it is not an easy thing. And people should definitely talk more about that. Well, all that's right. The end of the program. This is the Code Breakers on Black Talk Radio. This is Paradox.
And until next time, peace.